So Jonathan Hertzfeld showed me this morning in Rav Schwab a very interesting question and very very beautiful idea. So Schwab asks, we know since the Pasuk Gemara Yosef El Achiv Gshunai Lai, come close to me, and Rashi explains why did he bring them close. He showed them the bris, showed them bris mila, and also Rashi comments in a few psukim later. Says v'hine einechem rose, your eyes saw. Rashi explains, what did their eyes see? They saw that he was ma. So they had a bris mila. All of a sudden, they realized that Yosef is their brother, their long lost brother Yosef. So Shrab asks a question. He says, we know the Medrash says that Yosef, when the Mitzrayim came to buy food, he made them do a bris mila. So if everybody was trying to do bris mila, so what proof was there in showing in the bris mila? That's number one. Number two, he says that b'nei keturah, people came from Hagar, were also the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that they were mitzuvah in bris mila as well. So maybe this person was a descendant of Keturah. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Bnei Noach, until Matan Torah, Bnei Noach, Gemara in Sanhedrin New Testament says that Bnei Noach were mitzuvah in bris mila until Matan Torah. So Rishon says, what exactly is the proof? The fact that he has a bris mila, how is that proof that he's the Yosef, the brother Yosef? So he says when he was a young person, he heard from a Talmud Chacham the following hesber. Now, the following hesber is very very difficult to fit with Rashi, because according to Rashi, he says clearly Gishu Noi Lai. Rashi says Herolahem. He showed them the bris mila. He showed them something. Your eyes saw, Rashi says, what did they see? They saw something, they saw bris mila. But Shmuel says from this Talmud Chacham a very, very beautiful pshat, a very beautiful, I guess you'd call it a drush, an explanation to what really went on. He says like this, as follows. The end of that pasuk that describes the proof that it's Yosef, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin, it's my voice, it's my mouth that's talking to you. And what does Rashi say? What does it mean? Pim Hamadar Alechem. I'm talking Lashon HaKodesh. I'm speaking the holy language. So he wants. Rob heard this person wants to explain that based on the Medrash. The Medrash says that Lashon HaKodesh is unique. The Ramban brings this down based on a Rambam and Mordechai Bruchim. That Lashon HaKodesh is the only language that has no bad words. Right? That's what they say. They say about Yiddish. That's why Yiddish is also it's a beloved language, and that's why it's. With the Jewish people, Lashon HaKodesh is for tefillah and so on. But Yiddish is the language that they use in the house, in conversation, because it has no bad words. It's clean. So what was the idea? The idea was what was Yosef telling his brothers? That I'm still the same Yosef, even though I've been away for 22 years. I've been in Mitzrayim for 22 years, and everybody knows Mitzrayim is filled with filth. How am I proving to you that I'm still the Yosef? I'm still your brother Yosef, because I'm talking as if I was still showing my bris. And he's saying that there's a direct correlation between proper speech and promiscuity. That if a person if a person is able to talk nicely, it's a siman muvhak, it's a clear sign, it's a direct sign that he hasn't been involved in promiscuity. And that's why he wants to say maybe a pshat, that we know that part of the bris mila process, the procedure, is mitzitza b'peh. There's a direct correlation with being shomer your bris, right? Not involving yourself in filth, and having a clean mouth in terms of the way you talk. And when you think about it, we say to ourselves, I'm not involved in what goes on in the world and all the disgusting stuff, all the filth. But if we talk about it, if we have a bad, use bad language, and we have these types of discuss vulgar things. So basically, we're talking to yourself, and it's a simon that we're not really being shown our bris properly. And that's, again, it's very difficult to say this is pshat and Rashi, because Rashi says clearly, Haralahem, he showed the mamash the bris, but it's a unique pshat to answer. The bris doesn't prove anything. Many people had bris milos in those times. So the idea was, Pimadabra Alechem is telling us that the simon, what was the real proof? The real proof is the way he's talking. And the way a person talks is a very, very clear sign of where he's holding in his level of kedusha and purity. Along the same lines of speech, and Benon al-Chavero, we know that Yosef, after he reveals himself to his brothers, he says the following line. He says, "Va'ata lo atem shalachem osi." Now, you guys should know, you didn't send me here. I know you guys feel bad, but it wasn't you. It was the Yad of Hashem, and I had to be here to help provide for the family, and so on. And think about that. It doesn't really make much sense, because we know that even though at the end of the day it worked out for them, and the Yad of Hashem is quite visible in this sequence of events, but in truth, they wanted to kill him. They had complete negative intentions. Okay, maybe Reuven tried to save him from the pit, but essentially, they really, all their intentions are bad. So just say, I forgive you. No, Yosef doesn't stop there. He goes the extra mile and says, it wasn't your fault. Don't worry about it. So he says, you see a tremendous, Sternbach and Tam Das is a tremendous yisod. You know, very often a person wrongs you. And sometimes he even wrongs you on purpose. And what's your reaction? And don't worry about it. Forget it. It's fine. Okay, it's fine. You don't even give him the time of day. But you see from Yosef, what are you supposed to do? Language Hanek. The language of Hanek is used in the Torah, Hanek Tanek. When an Eved leaves you, you send him off with presents. Send him off with a good feeling. You see, as bad as the intentions of the brothers were to Yosef, Yosef would not let them feel bad. And he essentially let them go with a present, with a good feeling. It's a tremendous, tremendous episode, because this happens all the time. People make mistakes by accident, even on purpose, and you want to make them feel bad. You want think it, this is a natural reaction would be, I'm never going to let that person live it down. Of course, he'll come up to me and I'll say, yeah, forgive you. Or you know what you'll do? You won't even let him tell you his excuse. He wants to let out his excuse so to make him feel better. This happened. I missed the bus. I was just telling John that I heard, many, many years ago, the following story, where Pesach Kohen tells over about his brother. He said that his brother once gave a large amount of money to somebody to deliver to Eretz Yisrael, and the money got lost. Money had never made it. And the person felt so, so bad. And apparently, if I remember the story correctly, it was many, many years ago, he met the guy at the airport with a cake, just to make him feel good. This is what Yosef taught us. Why make a person feel bad? What do you accomplish? You feel great. You know, you made this guy feel like 2 cents. Gavalik, now you feel great. That doesn't help you. It doesn't help anybody. First of all, what it helps you is air. It's not genuine. It doesn't really help you in reality. And all it's doing is making somebody feel bad. Shemenis yisodav benadol chavero. And then Shmuel brings down a medrash that says that the whole idea of the Jews lighting the menorah, maybe tied into Hanukkah, Hashem doesn't need us to light anything. He doesn't need us to do anything in the base of Mikdash. But the idea is that he's giving us the opportunity to put input into it, and making us, if we're doing something, that means that he's giving us an opportunity to do something. It's making us feel good. And he describes it with a mashal. The mashal is a blind man and a person who has vision are going on the way. When they get to the house, so the man who can see asks the blind man to please, light a candle outside. Why is he doing that? To make him feel good. To make him feel like he's not just, he's not here for the free ride. He actually is able to bring something to the table. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. Rabotai, Klal Yisrael, please, light the menorah. I can light the menorah myself, but I'm giving you the opportunity to be mishtatev, to feel good about yourselves. So, same thing with davening. Klal Yisrael, I'm allowing you to daven with me. I don't need your tefillos, but I'm helping you feel good. And then he says, from Yisrael Petterberg, an unbelievable thing. From the Aruch HaShem in the Rosh. The Aruch HaShem in the Rosh says, listen to this quote. Al-Takshav Avon L'mishabol Yisnasal Fenachal Im Emesim Sheker. If somebody comes to ask for forgiveness for you, don't be medayek if he's telling you the truth or he's lying. What? If a guy comes to you and he tells you he's really sorry and he makes a totally false excuse, just forgive him. Why make him feel bad? He's not acting appropriately, but what do you accomplish by making him feel even worse? Be maver al midosav, swallow your pride, and give him forgiveness, just for the mere fact to make him feel good. Rav Sternberg asks the question on that. He says, al PMS, a person is forgiven when he asks for forgiveness because he has busha, he's embarrassed. This person is not really embarrassed, because why? He's not even holding up to his wrongdoing. He's just saying, he's saying a lie, and he's getting out. He's basically wiggling his way out of it. But he's saying, from the Aruch HaShem Rosh, he's saying that according to the Aruch HaShem Rosh, doesn't make a difference. Make the guy feel good. Doesn't matter how bad. And then you see from Yosef HaTzadik, his brothers did something terrible, and he Afopichin, he made them feel good. You see a tremendous lesson, a tremendous, tremendous lesson in Benon Luchavero, in making people feel good, no matter what. They wronged you. And I think it's the muscle that's brought down by the Sikom, by taking the comma. Why is it wrong to take the comma? So I believe the Medrash describes the idea that a person hits you with a stick, you don't get upset at the stick, the stick didn't do anything to you, it's the person who hit you. Same thing with anything that somebody does to you. Somebody does wrong to you, it's not really him, it's all from Hashem. Everything, HaKobi Deshemayim, Chutz Mir Shemayim, or HaKobi Deshemayim, Chutz Mitzinu Mupachim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. It's not that person. Forgive him. This is exactly how Yosef acted, and exactly how Yosef perceived life. It's not from any human being, it's all from Hashem. There's no reason to get upset at a person. That's also a tremendous lesson in life. What's the point of getting upset and up in arms over people, at people? It's a message from Hashem. Don't, and be a big man. Be a Balmidos. And don't get upset at the person. We should all strive for these Nikudas, and also the language. You know, so you saw what I heard on a tape, I believe the tape was about Chesed, maybe about Simcha. You know, davening takes a lot of concentration and a lot of intensity. You have to learn the davening, you have to know what you're davening well, you have to focus, and so on. That, you know, that has a challenge. And learning is also a challenge. You have to, mamish, you have to sit there, and you have to push, and you have to work hard. And it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of work. But being a nice guy, watching what you say, making people feel good, how much effort does it take? It doesn't take any brain capacity. It doesn't matter. IQ levels makes no difference. That's shol l'chol nefesh. Anybody can talk nicely if they want to, and anybody can be a nice essentially a person who's forgiving and who's really warm and friendly to other people. It's a tremendous lesson. Came on for yeshiva. Just want to end with the following idea. You know, just in terms of yeshiva and Torah, and some of us are, you know, the clock is ticking, but the clock's always ticking. We should always feel like, you know, as the Gemara says, person in the Beit Torah wants to start up with him, he should first learn, and he says, say Kriya Shema, then he should remember Yom HaMisa, because the person has to take advantage of every moment, who knows? So some of us feel it much more than others, because, you know, some are leaving in the next few weeks, some of us leaving later, but even so, the idea is we should never... You never try to squander moments. So last night I came home late. I was helping out in the kitchen a little bit. So I listened to a shiur from our official shachter. So he asked the following question. But he started by describing Chinuch in America. He said that Chinuch in America, when they started Torah Vadas in the 30s, so they're about to close. They had 3 kids per grade. They're about to close. And he said in those days you had Rebbeim who were Mechalei Shabbos, and you had, you know, people who just went to shul, but they went to work right afterwards. That's what America looked like in those days. Mamish, that's how it looked like. And it looked like if there was no real Jewish education, and also public school wasn't that bad. Public school was clean and was free. It wasn't like it is today. So people, it was an obvious choice. Immigrants came from Europe with not much money, and they wanted to make it there. So you send your kids to public school. You get a good education, free education. It was free. And it wasn't bad, and there was tons of Jews there. So getting kids to come to yeshiva was very, very difficult. So he said over a story about Rabbi Wilhelm, who started Torah Vadas. He said that they made a decision before Yom Kippur that they're closing down the school. They had no kids. They had 3 kids per grade. That's it. Nothing doing. So Yom Kippur morning, he got up. He said to his wife, "I'll see you later." I think maybe he did. I was helping out in the kitchen. I didn't hear every single detail of the story. But he didn't go to shul Yom Kippur morning. He didn't go to the shul, to daven. You know what he did? He went to every shul. He went to 75 shuls in that area. No, not 75. I don't remember. Many shuls in that area. And he got up and he says, "Why are you guys davening? If you don't send your kids to yeshiva, Judaism in America, will be the next generation, the kids won't be Jewish. Won't be Jewish. There's no Jewish education. What are you davening for? For what? Judaism in America, your Judaism in America will die after this generation. Finish. Done." And he people said he's crazy. He said, "No. That's it. If you don't send your kids to yeshiva, that's it. Judaism will stop here. The next generation will know nothing of Torah, the mitzvahs, and nothing." So he came home that night, half dead, okay, because he was running around the whole day. He passed out, and sure enough, he had 75 kids come to yeshiva the next year. Okay, another story that I read in Touched by a Story, just to bring out the point, It's about a young teenager who used to visit a guy in an old age home, and he was always sad. So he said, well, you know, what's the pshat? Why are you so sad? So they passed by an older man who spent his years learning Torah. Who knew how to learn? And he's sitting there learning. He's an older man in the 80s, 90s, whatever it was, and he's sitting and learning. And the guy said in Yiddish, if I remember correctly, Erhot alt and ichot gornish, meaning he has everything and I have nothing. What's pshat? At the end of 80, 90 years old, if you have a shaykhus to Rabbeinu Shlomo, if you have a shaykhus to Limud Torah, then you feel good about yourself. You feel you accomplished something. But this older man who had no connection to Judaism, no connection to Torah, he felt like nothing. He felt he had nothing. He felt like he wasted his life. So the message here is that you have time in yeshiva now. This is the time to gain your skills in learning and to develop the love for learning. Don't waste the time now. As I've said before, this is the time that you want to plant the seeds and hopefully take them with you and become very involved in learning. Now, the reason why yeshivas came up in this shir last night was because he asked a question. He gave one answer, but I think maybe you guys come up with another answer. It says that they sent Yehuda Goshna, right? They sent Yehuda ahead of everybody to set up yeshivas. Now, Bishlam, I understand, in America, when they set up the yeshivas like Torah Vadas and so on, they had people, they had Jews there. There was what to do. There was work to be done. But what exactly, and this is a question that we all should have thought of, what exactly was Yehuda doing when he went down? It was just Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim, and we all know that the Jews came down with 70 people. They were coming later. What exactly would he do? So Rashi says, Yehuda shalach lefanav Yosef, lehoros lefanav Goshna. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, lefanos lomokom lehoros heich yisashivah. To clear out a place and to set up teachings in Batei Dinim, where are they going to sit? I don't understand. 70 people come down, it's not that many people. I'm saying, you can't just pitch a tent and start learning with Yaakov. So the terrace he gave, I think it was from the Ben Ish Chai, was that they knew that when they'd come to meet Paro, Paro would say, hey, I have first class, I have a penthouse, say the best house in Mitzrayim, you know, right next door to my house, you guys can live there. And this way they had a terrace, Yaakov Vino could say, no. We already have a place. We set up our camp over there in Goshen, and we're all set. Thank you very much. That's a teretz. But the idea is, again, the point is, everything comes down to Limud Torah. That even though, essentially, they could have done it on the spot, it's not exactly clear what the preparation of Yehuda was for Klal Yisrael, but you see what's of paramount importance to the survival of the Jewish people, and also to the survival of each and every one of us, to our Jewish soul. Rovo is bound to Limud HaTorah. So Yishol B'Zocha, to continue the Hatzlacha in your Limud HaTorah. Because in the end of the day, that's Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Kodesh Baruch Hu created Yetzahara, but created the recipe, the antidote, the medicine, the way to protect yourself against the Yetzahara is Limud HaTorah. So Yishol B'Zocha, to have clean mouths, to be nice to people, and not make them feel terrible. Even though very often we can easily make people feel terrible and make them feel like food stamps, Yishol B'Zocha, to be kind of the Torah as best as possible. Have a good Shabbos.